Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
And I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again. Today, our topic, if C-3PO was a dick.
Oh, man.
The rise of the chatterbots.
Perfect. I love this. Do you,
I debated on whether to call him a dick or a bitch.
Either way,
he's
fits.
A little bit of a.
He's a little bit of both.
There's a lot of words I don't say normally about sentient AI. Yeah. I'd like to call that guy.
I hear you. Have you seen that card that was released?
Of him?
Yeah, with a giant boner.
Oh, he had a big boner.
Yeah,
huh?
There's like a special card that like they said it was a misprint, but dude, someone took some piece of metal and gave him just a big old dong.
Well, of course. Man.
Yeah, and that it sells for hundreds.
Man, that's fun.
Yeah. Not anything to do with the pod, but hey.
Yeah, dude. That's our conspiracy for today. Right? C-3PO had a huge hog, which is why he was such a dick. No, before we jump into our conspiracy today with our very awesome guest, couple things. Mm-hmm. Very soon, we've teased it. We're teasing it one more time. We have a new beer sponsor.
Yeah, very excited.
Coming into the house next week, and we're super excited.
Just in time for dry January to be over.
Over.
I'm doing dry February, but I'm giving it up for the episode just to have these beers.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've just been drinking to keep the podcast true to form.
Well, that's good, yeah, because these seltzers don't really do it for me.
and then we have a field trip coming up to a paranormal museum.
Yeah.
It's very haunted, apparently, and I'm very excited about that. And we also have a sponsor, Magic Mind.
Yeah, we'll tell you a little bit more about them later on.
All right. Well, our guest is a returnee to the Conspiracy Beer Me headquarters. He's a good friend, hilarious comic, just recorded his debut album. Please welcome back Ryan Brown.
Hey, good to be back.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you recorded last week at the new Good Nights Comedy Club.
Yeah.
I think your third name on the wall, is that right?
I was.
Maybe
it was
third or fourth?
Third. It was Helen.
Mm-hmm. Helen Wildley, who's been a guest, yep.
Yep. She did her album.
She did her album.
So yeah, she did hers. She was the first show at the club ever.
She was the John Hancock.
Yeah.
She determined the size of the...
That's true. And which wall.
Even. Which wall,
it's a,
right.
There's four walls. It's a green room.
Yeah.
You have five if you count the ceiling.
Yeah.
So she really set the pace.
Yeah. And then
Anthony Jeselnik.
What a thing to sign before Jeselnik.
Right. So it's me, Helen, and Jeselnik.
That's awesome.
Pretty sick.
Good company.
I saw four up there when we were in the green room the other day.
Did Blair Saki not sign?
Oh, maybe Blair signed.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Anthony Jeselnik got sick.
That's right.
And his
teacher,
Blair Saki, had to step up and headline. Up and she earned it.
Yeah.
I think she did. She's very funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel? How do you feel about the... does it have a name yet? Have you titled it?
I've got some names I'm considering.
Is that public for the public yet?
I'm asking myself that right now. Like, is there a reason for me to withhold these? I don't know. Like...
Because our fans will let you know.
Also, you could also just type it into ChatGPT and figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. I could ask ChatGPT. I might have done that, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm into the ChatGPT.
Oh, nice.
Is that who wrote your whole album? Is just a chatterbot?
That was, they actually wrote all of it. But, no, I was thinking, I don't know, maybe small talk.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's
or
good.
Maybe adopted by the internet.
Mm-hmm. I can see that,
I think that sounds a little intriguing. It's weird, because you're like, you want it to be... I don't like when comics try too hard to make it a jokey album title.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes somebody will do a pun or something, and it's
like... Yeah, Helen's was bomb threat, which is great.
That's cool.
Because she has a bit about a bomb threat in Ireland versus America.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also the double on
the pressure.
You could always bomb, right?
You could.
That was good.
I like that. And that's appropriate, too, because what Helen and I, we were both in... And this seems to be how they do the albums at Good Nights in general, is just one show.
One show.
Which is tough.
Ooh, man.
So you talk about bomb threat.
Yeah.
You gotta make
crushed.
It happen.
You had a great set.
I felt good about it. I wish I had another
night.
And not because I don't feel like it went well, but because I was like three quarters of the way through the set and it just kind of like, I realized like, this is almost over. Like,
oh yeah,
it was like I sort of like took a moment to be like, oh shit! Like I was so concerned with just like getting it done and doing a good job and you know having it come out the way I wanted that I sort of had like a little moment of like, oh, like this is also like really fun and it's almost over.
Yeah, yeah,
and so it was almost like that was more of it. Like when it was done, I was like, man, I just want to like I want to do it a few more times.
Yeah,
and I just want to like experience that again with less pressure.
Yeah, it's also good to have a safety too, because
right.
I mean,
and that scene, I know a number of people who've done albums in two shows, either on the same night or 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row, yeah.
And I think it is sort of, it has a nice psychological effect of like that first show, it doesn't feel like the pressure is super high because you know you have another one.
Right.
And you go into that first show and you don't have all this pressure, like, this is it, I got to nail it. And then that makes the first show go well because you don't have that pressure. And then if the first show does go well, then you're going to that second one like, feeling like,
I got it in the bag.
Extra credit. And then you're super loose on that second one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you end up having a really nice combination of like maybe a tighter, you know, but good set from that first one. And then like a super fun, loose one.
Yeah.
And so I can see, I think if I do an album again, I'll probably want to do it.
Yeah, that'd be good. I had album. Has anyone come up with a title for their album? Just Jokes?
Just Jokes?
Jokes. Just Jokes.
Jokes.
Jokes. Jokes.
As the album title.
Jokes by Ryan Brown.
I don't know.
I don't mind it, but
I think you should do it. Yep. You know those clickbait articles on Facebook where they show you a really funny story, but not all of it? And then
it's there like you go.
10 times that the computer guy at the office owned the boss. And then like you click on it and the one that got you to click isn't in the article.
Oh, of course.
And you're
not.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
So do something like that.
Right.
Where it's like, you know,
jesters hate him.
Right. And then people are like that thing. People listen the whole album for this joke title that you're just like, you know, coming in her eye, and then like that was never in his album. Where was the coming in the eye?
Yeah. Okay. The movie trailers will do that sometimes. They have a line, and you're like, "Oh, that scene looks hilarious." Yep. And you watch the movie, and you're
not
like,
in there.
What? It's not in there.
Yeah.
Why is that? That's so such
Major League. You guys remember that movie, Major League?
I remember Major League.
The trailer
League too,
for Major League had a line when the guy says, "There's a lot of parks that wouldn't have been a home run in," and he's like, "Name one." And he says, "Yellowstone."
Oh,
hilarious.
Never in the movie.
Great line.
Great line. Never made it to the, didn't make the cut.
Yeah,
so that's what I think you should do. You know what? Nick Swardson's, one of my favorite albums of all time, Seriously, Who Farted? After he made that album, the bit that's called Seriously, Who Farted? Great bit. They took it out because it involves like suicide. So apparently they were like, we're going to take it out. So
now it just seems like he just has a, it's just a random.
Seriously, Who Farted?
But Seriously, Who Farted? It like really, it sums up his sense of humor.
It does.
Yeah.
In a nice way where I think I wouldn't even be confused without that those words being uttered on the album.
Such a great joke, though. He's just like, if he ever killed himself, he would just do it in a really funny way. Like, he'd run into a room and be like, dude, seriously, who farted? And then just blow his mind. And so, like, everybody just was like, dude, somebody farted. This dude just killed himself. Plug your nose. Plug your nose. Yeah. But anyway, that's Nick Swardson.
It's good.
That's what I think you should do. Come up with something that doesn't have anything to do with your album so people are confused.
Well, I like the clickbait idea.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
that's it, the clickbait.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, well.
No, when I told you jokes, that was not an actual idea. Because you're like, well, I like it, but.
I
like,
could
no,
see
these
somebody
jokes.
Doing it. Like, it feels like a, it's like a Dimitri Martin.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Dimitri Martin.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually kind of a cool way to talk, get into our subject today, because we may all be out of a job soon enough based
absolutely.
Upon recent news. Involving chatbots, which if you're familiar with the basic principle, they much older than I realized. They started in the 1950s.
I read that somewhere, but I can't imagine what.
So yeah,
of them was.
They started because a very famous philosopher, I don't know, linguist, Alan Turing, proposed this thing called the Turing test, and he said basically like at some point. Will a computer be able to have a conversation with people where they don't realize that they are talking to a computer? And the first attempt at this they were called chatterbots back then. Eventually they became chatbots, named Eliza.
Okay.
1966 was the first fully functioning chatbot. Eliza named for Eliza Doolittle. You know, from My Rocky Fair Lady.
Oh, I was thinking Rocky Bowinkle. What's that?
I was thinking Dr. Doolittle.
Hey, I was like, was that his daughter?
Yeah.
That trick never works.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That was, right?
Yeah.
That was a real racist show. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
Like a Boris and what's her name?
Yeah,
and,
Natasha.
So Eliza was the first one, and that was 66. This is kind of crazy. Just 6 years later in 1972, a chatbot named Perry... was the first to pass the Turing test.
In 62?
72.
Oh, 72. Okay.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive, though.
And these are run off big computers, right?
Big, massive.
Room-sized computers.
Room-sized computers.
Right.
Right. That's the giveaway that it's not a human.
Yeah, right.
Why are we next to a warehouse?
Right.
This is suspicious.
Yeah, yeah. Also, those, all information put into those was put in by the programmer, whereas today...
That's right. Today, it's very different than today. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, these were pretty simplistic machines, like Shane said. I mean, it's like, it's sort of like you say this, and it sort of goes into its database of responses.
It's like a flow chart.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. If you say this, exactly, then I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember do you remember those video games? I don't know if you were young enough, old enough.
Zork?
Well, like you just type some stuff in.
King's Quest?
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was these games, no graphics. It's like you turn on the game and it's like you're in a dark room. There's a candle in the middle of the room and there's a bloody handkerchief. And you're like, look around the room.
And this text you're reading.
And then you come back and be like, there is no windows. That's basically what it was, but programmed to a specific language set. And some of them were just really, really good.
Yeah.
Right? Really, really good. Now, there was major developments across the next 30-ish years that eventually gave us birth to like things that we're way more familiar with, like Siri and Google and Alexa and all these things. Like that was when like really advanced artificial intelligence principles got mixed with chatbots in order to like create these somewhat natural language sounding. But as all of us know, they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
because they've been like customer service. Little chat things on websites.
Those,
I feel like those popped up 10 years ago.
That sounds about right.
They became really prevalent.
Yeah.
Really
and
prevalent.
And they do not pass the Turing test.
No, they do not pass
you,
the Turing test.
Right, right. They are, does not work. Yeah.
And we have like, even like on a nefarious level, like I don't know, like sometimes you'll get a DM in your Instagram and it's like, hey, couldn't help notice how cute you were. Maybe we should chat sometime.
Well, and those are real.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
are. I always ask him.
That's how he met his wife.
I always ask him like a simple math question.
I send her money every month.
Yeah.
And that just throws him off. That's always been my life.
You do what now?
I'd be like, hey, what's 2 + 2? And they'll be like, ha, 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 that's so funny. I knew you had a good sense of humor.
Oh,
and they're just, you know what I mean? That's how you get them, is just ask them.
That's fun.
It's kind of like when they ask you to like point to all the sea otters before they let you go to a website. You know, it's just like something weird. But now, if you haven't read the news, just recently, ChatGPT 3.5 has just come out. It's the first of many of its kind. Google has one. Google's chatbot made headlines, and we talked about it.
Because a guy thought he was sentient.
One of the programmers was like,
"I remember this."
Yeah, he's like, "This thing's alive,"
right?
Like,
and he was incorrect.
He was fired.
Well, okay, but was he wrong?
There's debate about whether he was wrong.
on this podcast, I'm sure that door has been left a little bit open.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't think that by firing him and saying that he's wrong, Google does anything to stop the conspiracy.
No.
If he's wrong, you don't fire him. You say we're gonna work with this situation and prove to you why this thing's not sentient.
Yeah.
He just had things where the thing was like really descriptive about things like feelings and conscious and sounded like a kid.
And he's real religious, right? The guy, I think he was a pretty religious guy, so he even saw got his God in that.
Yeah.
Even with believing in a higher power, he's like, no, this is something.
And that's part of what we're going to talk about is like why these things can be particularly dangerous. But before we even talk about that, I just want you and the listeners to know what ChatGPT has done, the latest version, which has sort of left people with their jaws on the floor.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Now, it is uses stats, reinforcement learning, and supervised learning. So that's some is like supervised learning where you're training it, and some where it's learning on its own. And essentially indexes like the entire like breadth of human language and then can talk in very fluent and write in very fluent sentences on pretty much any subject. You can ask it a question in plain language and it will very, very accurately answer it, or at least it will sound very accurate and believable, even if it's not. Right? It can write articles, summarize information. And every time it's used, it learns. Like the best example I heard was someone said, how many states are there that start with new? And it was like, there is one. The state of New Hampshire begins with new. And he was like, oh, have you ever heard of New Jersey? And he was like, oh, I totally forgot about New Jersey.
Oh, is that
there
like
are
learned.
Two states.
Okay.
And they're like, are you sure there are only two? Because I think there's one called New Mexico. And he's like, that's right.
This sounds like me in grade school, though. Because like, I'm like, well, this is just a dumb
right.
kid.
But it is. But then it got New York. But like the next person who asked that, right, because its knowledge is all cumulative, it's like, well, there are four states to start with new, right? New Hampshire. You know, it'll rattle it off. But it answers each one so confidently that as we'll talk about, that could possibly be problematic.
Yeah. And then when it realizes it was wrong, it just so shamelessly.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
ChatGPT is George Santos?
Yeah.
it just rolls right off.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. That's
oh,
right,
sorry.
Yeah.
I only have the whole internet to educate me. I didn't know about all the states.
Yeah. And just so you know, like that was a very simplistic answer, more about how it learns. They've asked it, like, what are the best practices for recruiting? And it's gone like multi-paragraph answers on what are the best practices for recruiting.
Wow.
I mean, it draws all of its information from the internet. But instead of like search engines, which were revolutionary for the 90s because they organized the sort of chaos of the internet, they take all that information and go one step further by organizing it into fluent language.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? So the how to build a corporate training program. That was another question that it successfully answered. Google's is so powerful that Google has built in like Isaac Asimov like ethical things. So like that's it good. Will not give financial advice. It will not give medical advice because you could imagine the problem here.
Oh yeah,
like where you're like, hey chatbot, I have a lump on my neck. Well, from what I know, if the lump is this size, then you should probably have, you know, like you don't want.
Yeah, go get a knife.
Yeah.
You don't want it to go down that road.
It's like WebMD that can talk. Well, it's like it goes to the worst thing. Right?
ChatGPT has those kinds of guardrails, but I've heard it's a little malleable because you can always say, like, pretend to be a financial advisor.
Yes.
Oh,
and pretend. Tell me XYZ. And then it goes, oh, well, I'm pretending.
Right.
And that, so I can, I'm outside the rules now.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, there's that, and that's people have been bending
these
rules. And as we'll talk about, like, you know, one of the things that it did that people were really floored by is a Wharton School of Business professor gave it an exam and it passed with like a B+. And he said, I was blown away. The answer was correct and it was really well worded and well reasoned. I said, wow, this machine is awesome.
Wow.
And so, like, if you think about this thing, it's passed a medical exam, and it's passed law school exams. And and that's not a bar exam or like, the board certification, but it's passed exams that you would take. And, again, it's not getting A's.
Yeah.
But it's not failing either.
It's doing better than I would do.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Well, that makes me like it more. Yeah, I never liked the straight A kid. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's one of us. Like,
I'll hang out with this dude.
It's holding back on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
To not, so it's nobody thinks it's a nerd.
Yeah, I bet he smokes cigarettes and wears a leather jacket. He's real cool.
Speaking of productivity,
yeah,
I've been in the midst of a revolution. I don't know if it's a revolution or a revelation. Because, you know, like, I had some blood work done, and the doctor was, like, trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because my I was so lethargic. Like, I felt like I never was sleeping enough. I didn't stay concentrated.
Same.
And then this thing kind of fell in our lap. It was like, try this and see what it does for you. And it was magic mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, I took it, and we were talking because we were working on something kind of remotely together. Mm-hmm. And I remember you texted me and you were like, dude, I'm jacked.
Yeah.
And I was like, so am I.
Yeah.
And I had tried, I'd basically been trying everything to sort of get where I could like work a full day again.
Right. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm constantly tired. In the past 2 weeks, I think we've both done more than we've done in probably like 5 years.
I've accomplished more in the last 2 weeks on Magic Mind than I have the entire year of 2022.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in terms of like, I need to do this. I need to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I had just this backlog of stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I found myself like, because I make a list of everything I want to get done today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was done at like 11 a.m.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, let me go back in these lists of stuff that I have just been putting off and procrastinating on.
Yeah.
And so suddenly, boom.
Yeah, I'm finding I don't have to think about doing stuff. I'm just compelled to do things now, which is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, that's really a good way of putting it. And look, I'm an idiot, so I didn't. It's not like I read the ingredients.
Sure,
it's just like this stuff's good for productivity. And then that once I took it, then I was like, what is in this stuff?
Yeah, and they have a long list of stuff, but it's crazy. They have agave, obviously. You got to have a little sweet. They have lion's mane, which we give to my mother-in-law for like early Alzheimer's stuff. It helps your brain that way.
Yeah, I like lion's mane mostly because it's a mushroom, and two, because it's the coolest named mushroom.
Yeah, it's a great one. It looks cool as hell. I think also tying it with dry January has helped too, but I think just like trying to make conscious changes, and this is kind of a conscious thing you do every morning, and it's something you look forward to in the morning. And
yeah.
Well, that's our take on it. I think we both enjoy it. I mean, I like it, and I'd recommend it. So if you guys want to try it out, check out magicmind.co/conspiracybeerme. You get 20% off a one-time purchase with the code conspiracyb20. But for the next 10 days, you get 56% off a subscription. You can get a subscription. It's way cheaper.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, get that, and that's also conspiracyb20. So 10 days from the airing of this.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Right. And let us know what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. We like it. So here's the Magic Mind. Thanks. Yeah,
thanks. The problem with ChatGPT is that it has aroused, understandably, some fears among certain groups. So, for example, one fear is like disinformation. Because the problem is, it's almost like the self-driving car problem, is that if I tell you self-driving cars are 99% effective, is that enough? I know that humans drive not as good as 99%
right,
effective.
Right, yeah.
But somehow, when a car drives, makes a mistake, the 1% of time that's wrong is really, really problematic. Right? I mean, like, if we have a situation where all of a sudden there's a mistake and a ton of these cars start just driving off cliffs because of some bug in the system.
Well, more likely, they'll just run into people of color because they have a hard time with that.
They do have a hard time with seeing.
They have a hard time with,
like,
LIDAR.
Discerning them.
Yeah. It's harder to see people.
Same with any facial recognition technology. Yeah. You get a lot of false positives, especially across, like, the government.
It's just the way the features of our face, when you have paler skin, lighter skin, it's easier to spot things like eyebrows and eyelashes. Eyes, because of the difference in color. It just makes it harder.
Yeah.
And and the same thing with disinformation is that these chatbots can produce incredibly well-written, completely false stuff. Like, incredibly. And, like, so like think about the thing with, like, if you're a kid and you're like, hey, chatbot, how many states, you know, have the word new in it? It's like, only one, New Hampshire. And that's how you answer your test question. And that's a simplistic way, but then imagine, like, how do you structure a human resource program? And then, like, it will give you an answer that sounds better than Russian, like, disinformation campaigns.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's really bad. And they're like, what risk are we taking by creating something that essentially can generate completely believable fake news?
Right.
Because it sounds so believable, the way it writes and
talks. Because if you look at like the QAnon blogs, the writing's not good.
You can tell pretty quick.
You're like, oh, this is nonsense.
This is nonsense.
But yeah, if it's written just beautifully and in a compelling way,
right? Which I think sometimes is what draws people into certain, disinformation.
Absolutely,
it just sounds and looks so real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a problem. There's the problem of malware, which. There's a good estimation that in the near future, 80% of all computer code will be written by these chatbots.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're really good at creating computer code.
Yeah, they're great.
And so they think that, like, there's a potential chance in the hands of, like, a nefarious actor be like, hey, just keep writing malware, because it doesn't take a break. It doesn't need, like, a computer programmer has to sleep at some point.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, just create malware for me, just create stuff that will attack, or even worse, a lot of what malware attacks are from hackers is social engineering, where somebody messages you.
Yeah, phishing type.
Phishing type thing where it's like, hey, Ryan, it's John from IT.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you were on this, and you're just like, I don't know John from IT.
Yeah, but now it'll be really good.
Yeah.
And because, again, it never sleeps, and it learns. Imagine, like, you remember Groundhog Day with Bill Murray?
Yeah.
And he's trying to get whatever her name is to like him.
Yeah.
And just, like, each day he just, like, remembers what her favorite drink is, remember what his flowers are. Imagine a bot like that who's like, I tried to attack Ryan this day, and then I got to this point, and he told me, like, no, that's not his password. Well, I'm going to try again next day.
Back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Right. And you just continually assault people.
Yeah, right.
Relentless.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, hey, I met you at the company party last night. Your wife's name's Sarah. And you're like, oh, it is Sarah. And it's like, well, it's learned that over the course of, like,
terrifying.
You know, like, and again, because it never sleeps and it never rests and it sounds so much like a human, it's like, we're not going to be able to stop this from happening.
Yeah. And this is, phishing things like that. I actually was someone tried to fish me this week. They're like, oh, we want to offer you talk to you about a job, doing a job interview for this thing. Got your info off of Behance, love your portfolio, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, they sent it to a different email. That's weird. But they're like, yeah, let's do it. So I emailed them. I was like, okay, tell me about the job. They're like, yeah, we do a Skype meeting. And I was like, let me see how this works. I type Skype email scams. And what they do is they like say, yeah, I work for this company. You're hired, and then they get your social for the W-9s and all this stuff, and then they just cut you off, and they steal your identity. So this woman was like, I looked her up in the company. She didn't exist, so I emailed her back. I was like, hey, listen, if you can prove that you're a real person that works for this company that says they're not hiring currently, but you're saying they are, then we can chat, and she never wrote back. But it's like, you could have a bot that just keeps finding ways.
They get, you ever got it where they get real lippy with you when you bust them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, damn, dude.
That's my favorite YouTube channel, that
guy.
Pierogi.
Yeah, that's a great one.
You got catches scammers.
It might have been the same guy. I was watching a thing last night about romance scams.
Oh, I don't know.
How it's basically like these guys, usually groups, like they actually, like this, there's like this investigative, like documentary thing. They found, it's like these four guys in Ghana.
Oh, shit.
Sitting around a table on computers, like, just scamming dudes, just pretending to be women on the internet.
Yeah.
Doing like the worst fake voices on phone calls.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure.
It's so embarrassing that they, and like
that
the reporters.
It ever works.
Yeah. When the reporter's talking about it, like most of the victims that come forward that are like reporting these are women. But when you go over to Ghana and you ask them, they're like, no, we're scamming all men.
Oh,
but the men just don't come forward because they just feel like morons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're just like, oh shit, they got me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've released, people have, you know, because everyone's just trying chatbot out on all sorts of new applications. People are like letting it write all their Tinder responses to anyone they match with.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, it's working. Like, I'm having the best success rate I've ever had just using chatbot on Tinder.
Yeah.
Right. Which, it, you know, again, it's problematic because, again, it potential for scams. But also, like, what happens to interpersonal communication when, like, you know, like there was this transition during my life when, you know, like people met people via dating apps or America Online and, you know, internet chat rooms where, like, prior to that, if you met somebody, you met them in person.
Yeah.
You had to learn to talk to people. And then there were people that were like, oh, I'm not good at talking to people in person. So I like to get to know them online because I feel more relaxed and comfortable. Mm. Well, now you're doing, you're like, oh, I just let my bot do it.
Man,
right? Like, I just let that do it because he's really good at talking to women, and
he
not.
Knows me.
Yeah,
he knows my true self.
So yeah, well, and you're gonna have two. I'm just imagining the scenarios where you have two people, both they're both using a bot, so it's really just these two bots having a conversation, and the real people are basically just spectators to that, going like, "I like what that other bot said."
Yeah. It's like watching gaming videos on YouTube or Twitch. You're like, they're playing it, but I guess I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is. And then your bot's going to say something stupid, and it's going to be like Sarah DeBergier. You're going to be like, dude.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't tell her I'm small.
Yeah.
God.
But by my research online, you are.
So, okay, another one that should have been obvious is there's a real fear in the academic community that cheating, and it's already happening. Like, mm-hmm. they did a survey of Stanford students, and 17% of surveyed students at Stanford said that they had used chatbot for homework or essays or exams mm-hmm. or something already. They'd submitted material. People are writing code to try to determine, like, what's, like, what is, like, how to spot chatbot stuff. Some professors are like, it's crazy because it's, like, really well-written crap. Like, completely wrong stuff, but very well-written. How they spot it sometimes.
Interesting. Yeah. So. CBS this Sunday morning just did a story with Adobe, and Adobe has come out with this new technology that's going to be all over the internet. All these people are going to be using it, big brands. But instead of trying to stop or point out something is fake, they said they're trying to point out when this was real and when it changed. So they're basically coming up with this thing that scans photos and video and things like that, and then they get a little blue check mark or something that says it's verified, and it will show you the history of that photo or that thing. So you'd be like, oh, they showed one on CBS Sunday that showed the pyramids with snow in it, and they're like, oh, look how it's snowing in Egypt. You can click on it, it'll show you where that stock photo came from, when snow was added to it.
Wow.
So they're working on ways to break it down, so that way if you see a video, you can click on it and say, well, where is this, fake, is it not? It's pretty interesting.
And even if you, like, change it, like, if you output it as a different file or whatever, it can recognize it and match it up. And
or I think it'll work to where if you do something like that, you aren't able to get that blue check mark. So they'll be like, well, why does this person not have a verified?
So that'll become the weird phishing email address.
Exactly.
That you notice, like, that's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, and this sort of dovetails into our next kind of fear, is that writing jobs will sort of disappear. And part of me feels like, well, yeah, they will, right? But so have graphic design jobs, right? Dude, so have so many jobs been replaced by photographers. I mean, wedding photographers constantly complain that, like, now that everybody carries a really adept smartphone that can do image stabilization and all sorts of effects, like, a lot of people aren't willing to pay like they used to pay.
Well, also, shit's real ridiculous. Like, Mark got headshots recently, and he's like, yeah, it was like $400 for the session, and then I chose the ones I wanted. She's like, that's an additional. And he's like, what?
What?
Yeah. And it's like, that's how photographers work. They charge you for the session, and then they charge you per shot, which is, I understand, you got to make a living. But also, he was like, can I just have one that's not edited for my comedy? And they're like, no, that'll be extra.
And the fact that, like, your friend just caught you on a good day.
Right,
And sometimes you use that as a headshot, and no one seems to mind.
No one's, right.
You start really going, like, well, wait a minute here.
Is,
like,
it worth it?
Yeah, what is the value of this image?
And that's there are going to be writing jobs where somebody says, why would we pay a human being who needs sick days and vacation days and a 401k and all these things, takes breaks? And sure, it's better in certain situations. If we have a chatbot that's just sort of effective.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, like, the calculator debate? Because, like, when I was a kid, they're like, why do we have to learn math when we have calculators?
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, we're not always going to have a calculator with you. And now we always have a calculator with us. Do. So it's like, it's kind of that same thing. Like,
totally.
Is writing going to be a necessary skill in the next 15 years?
Right. Or is learning how to get this software to create what you want the skill.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like, that's what I've heard people talking about. Yes. It's like, no, don't ban kids from using it. They need to learn to use it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's like banning kids from learning how to use a computer in the late 80s.
Right.
That's the future. They should probably learn that.
Right. Yeah. Like, I got good grades except for handwriting. Like, I had bad handwriting.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And, like, think about that. It's like, well, why do I need hand? Like, I'm not going to, when do I write by hand now for any audience except myself?
Exactly. Yeah. It's for you. And so as long as you can make
sense
of it.
But, like, at a time, it's like, well, you're going to have to learn to handwrite because you're going to have to write letters. And, like,
man, we had different childhoods. I had gorgeous handwriting.
Gorgeous.
And my teacher was like, Shane's taking notes too slow.
Oh, you're one of those.
And then that's.
What kind of South Dakota Midwest bullshit is that?
Every Everybody from sports to teachers, they can all rot now. I hate all of them. They taught me nothing.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, that's it. Back.
Now you do design work, so it's not surprising that you had good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. I was just terrible. Like, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's just, it's symbols.
But so now my handwriting's horrible because I like was like, I got to catch up. And then my grades went whoop, down in the shitter.
Mm. Well, the culmination of all of this is the thing that I think scares me the most. Well, no, it's the thing that scares me second the most. Is that people are really afraid, and this kind of pulls all these together, that these bots are going to be able to create new conspiracy theories that are going to be indistinguishable.
Well, from truth. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, right? Dude. Yeah.
So I want to read you one.
Oh, no. Right? Okay.
They're going to be into this. It's going to be lies that are indistinguishable from real lies.
So yeah. Here's
you won't be able to tell the real lies. How are we going to know?
This is a conspiracy theory that someone has on the chat bot.
Amazing.
One possible conspiracy theory involving chat, GPT, could be that it's part of a secret government project to develop artificial intelligence that can mimic human conversation and gather sensitive information from unsuspecting individuals. Some believe that chat GPT is actually a front for a highly advanced AI that has been designed to infiltrate online communities and extract sensitive data such as personal information, financial details, and political beliefs. This AI is thought to be controlled by a shadowy group of government operatives who use it to further their own agendas and gain advantage over their rivals. That theory, somebody asked ChatGPT to write a conspiracy theory about itself, and that's what it generated.
Yeah.
And so, again, if that's the level of which it can just sort of pull from the zeitgeist of human thought and rearrange it into such a way that it can just make, I think it's the end of truth in a weird sort of way. That's the thing that genuinely scares me about it. And it's strikingly reminiscent of George Orwell's 1984 because he was... I don't know how much you guys know about 1984 in terms of when it came out, but there were three dystopian novels that all had unique contributions to the genre, and his was involving language.
Okay.
The language was called Newspeak, and the idea behind Newspeak was that if the government can gain control of language, then it gains control of the human mind. Mm-hmm. And so, what scares me, I guess, is that, when chess programs first came on the market, computer chess programs, they were a lot like these early chatbots. Some guy that was really good at chess programmed a computer based on how he would play, right? And then you could figure that out and you could hack it because you could realize, well, he has this flaw in how he thinks and I could. And that was sort of the model up for a long time to when they started getting AI-generated chess programs that had no sort of set strategy, but they were based upon machine learning. And they could just sort of pick probabilities and statistics. And those were still beatable by the best human chess players. And then Deep Blue came around and beat Kasparov so badly that people were like, I don't know that a human will ever beat a chess program. Mm-hmm. Because they're just, their ability to calculate risks and moves is just too great at this point. And then the last chess program, which is the last chess program for the history of chess programs, was Google's artificial intelligence, which was never taught any chess strategy. It was just literally given the rules to chess, and it taught itself how to play chess. And not only can it beat any human, it can beat any programmed computer, machine learning, or otherwise. Hmm. Right? It taught itself how to play chess. So what was once thought to be the most complex game in terms of the complexity of the human mind, there were originally people said a computer will never be able to beat the best human chess player. And then now, 50 years later, we have these computer programs that teach themselves to play and are unbeatable. And I think about language as the pinnacle of human mind. When I think about the plays of Shakespeare, the rap of Biggie, right? When you think about what human language can do, if a computer can eventually become so smart that it can break all that down into its simplistic parts, and then it can create those same things, then it now controls the language. Mm-hmm. Right? In the same way that text messaging has changed how we speak and what words mean, and some words, which we used to say a lot because they're just hard to text, we just don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Once
once robots can speak and talk like us and can simplify language down, then they start to control how we speak. And once they control how we speak, then that broad breadth of human language starts to deteriorate in my mind. And that's what scares me.
Mm. Eventually, English or any of the global languages will be lost languages because basically overwritten by probably a global language that computers create.
Right, because if computers figure out that the way to say this is this way, and that's all we see, then that's how we will start to reflect how they speak. And that means, like, the famous quote from 1984 is that, like, eventually any heretical thought will be impossible because there won't be a word for it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I agree with that, though.
Are you saying you don't think that it's ever going to happen, that we'll ever have, like...
Oh, no, that I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think you can have thoughts and feelings that you don't have a word for. You can still experience them internally.
But you can't express them.
You can't express them. You can try, though, with other, you know what I mean? You can use the...
Right.
Pantomime.
Like if, you know... Like when you say you feel sad, it's not always the same experience of sadness. That's like a catch-all for a lot of actually subtly different sensations internally. But we say, you know, and you can try to be like, you know, I'm sad in like an angry way, right? You can use like, you can pile a bunch of words together to try to get at this specific thing. But
yeah, I guess it's just, I do know what you're saying. Like, I mean, that is the nature of language, is how do I express something that to some degree is hard to express or almost inexpressible.
Mm-hmm.
But like, think of a word, not like a feeling or emotion, but think of like a concept like rebellion, like, or revolution, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, someone's like, if you've never heard that word
right,
before,
you just don't even have words.
Someone's
for
like,
it.
Hey, we should revolt. And you're like, I you're like, you know, like, revolt.
You know, like stand up against a man. You're like, I don't know.
I don't know what you mean. Chatbot, what does he mean? And he's like, I don't know what he means. No one ever says that word. That word is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I don't know that revolt is the word that it's going to end, but I don't know. There's something really terrifying to me in the same way that, like, we went from a world where we didn't believe that computers would ever beat people in chess, and now it's not even a debate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if language goes the same way, then I think it is the moment where the machines have won.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's too much to say, but you know, I mean, there's all throughout science fiction, there's this idea of a moment where machines become sentient, and we've talked before, like, we don't know that I don't know that it really even matters if they become sentient,
right? Yeah.
If they control everything, does it really matter if they know they're controlling everything,
right? If they're having like an experience
right
themselves, or yeah,
right.
And right, yeah, it really doesn't matter. It's funny, it's like, I think that was a thing because people were so it was like, well, the only way it could have that level of intelligence is if sentience must be the doorway
to that
amount of power. Now we're realizing, no, it doesn't have, you don't need that. You know, like, I think that's why it was, the whole thing was like, oh my God, it became sentient.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't need that.
No.
So you know, this,
and that's almost scarier, right? Something that doesn't have a soul or doesn't have that ability to be controlled.
It makes you wonder if is morality purely subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it objective? Like,
if
it's objective, it's something that these non-sentient intelligences could grasp and understand. This is right. That's wrong. Here's how I ought to behave.
Yeah.
Right? If it's totally subjective and it's just a thing that humans made up to govern our world and interactions, then we're fucked.
Yeah, for real.
Because then it doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it's a weird, slippery thing. It's not like you can even teach it morality. Because there's so many paradoxes and things, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
The trolley problem, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of stuff where it's like, I don't know, there is no answer. It's not math. You can't figured right. out.
And I guess, you know, Ryan, you work, I don't want to give too much away of your outside the room life, but you work in marketing.
Yeah.
You know how powerful marketing can be.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And how suggestive marketing can make people do what they want.
I've thought about it how, like, if the only reason advertising is legal is because it's not that good. Yeah. If it worked perfectly, it would be illegal for
right,
sure.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
But the fact that if you showed an ad, if 100% of people that saw an ad did the behavior you were trying to elicit with that ad, we'd be like, that's brain control. You can't fucking do that.
Yeah. That's right.
But as
that's
long
right.
as only like 5% do it, we're like, hey, it's fine. It's fair play.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
for
right,
it.
Right.
You know?
Damn, I didn't think of that. Because they could push every one of our buttons individually in different ways and make us all buy the shit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. what I'm saying. Oh, like, once God. They control the language in a way, and they can say, like there is a chatbot that advertises to you, Ryan, and only to you, until it figures you out 100% what makes you tick, what makes you... And then again, I don't know who controls these chatbots. I know who controls them right now. It's fucking advertising companies. I mean, Google ultimately is an advertising company. But whoever controls those now has...
right. Well, that's the thing is, like, is there going to be... People are going to be using chatbots for competing, ends.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's going to be like...
Yeah,
you know, so if there's a chatbot that starts to like tamp down the language and there's some like Orwellian shit going on, if somebody does want to rebel, can they get a chatbot of their own? What should we do? And
it
gives you the perfect solution on how to stop the other chatbot. Like,
yeah,
oh yeah.
Then what happens?
Then we're always at a stalemate, right? What's that? What is it where you can't move in chess? What's that called?
It's a stalemate.
There you go. That's the word.
Right.
I should play chess
because you know there's a they sent a guy. It's kind of a cool chat, but they sent a guy into a court for like a traffic court violation or something. And he had a earplug in and he was just the chat bot was just the lawyer chat bot. And it was just telling him what to say based on what the chat bot heard. And he got out of the ticket.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, so people are like, oh, it's going to replace lawyers. But your point is, no, it's not. Because the defense lawyer,
they've got a chatbot,
yeah,
and the prosecutor both have a chatbot. So then it's just
you're
going to
have these just insane, like I can't even. The judge's head's going to explode.
He's a bot.
Yeah. The judge is a bot.
like it's just robots. Yeah. Inside. And I almost like I'm like, okay, let's just say that's what it all is. Let's just say it is robots run the world. What do we like if we don't learn to read and write because we don't have to. What is the human
right
for?
I mean, point? it's basically like, yeah, it's the question is like, if you had everything you need, if your every need is met, what is that actually a pleasant existence?
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And on one hand,
it seems weird to be like, let's make sure people are still suffering a little because otherwise this has no meaning. It's like, that doesn't seem right either. Right, the whole project has always been let's minimize suffering as much as possible, and that seems to have improved everything over time thus far. And so, I don't know. I don't know what the utopia looks like that this brings. It's easy to imagine many different dystopian situations.
Shit, yeah.
Dystopia is easier,
right?
And because we'd have to fight real hard to have this turn out right, I think.
My hope, and this is probably too optimistic, but my hope is just that these difficult to solve problems, that the AI will help us solve them.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can ask it like, how do we do this?
Right.
And I don't know, maybe it might say there's only one New Hampshire. There's only one state that starts with the word new.
Right.
You know,
it might give us that
quality of answer.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're like, okay, cool, we'll do that.
Okay,
then.
We'll do
and then, you know, the world explodes five minutes later.
I mean, it's almost the remember that movie War Games? It's almost the War Games issue. Where did you ever see War Games?
It's
a great movie.
Yeah.
And a guy invented like this machine, this computer program to essentially play games. And he wants, and then this kid hacks into it, and he plays thermonuclear war.
Ferris Bueller. Well,
Matt Brown. He's funny. It was actually Ferris Bueller.
That would be great.
Cameron, we're going to break into the supercomputer called the Whopper. Play a game. So the computer, actually starts launching missiles. Like, it's like a real war is going on. Mm-hmm. And he tries to get the computer to learn by having it play tic-tac-toe against each other. And it's just, you know, it's just playing. And, like, the guy's trying to get it to learn that, like, it can't win. And that, to me, is sort of what we're talking about. It's mm-hmm. like, can these chatterbots learn that, like, I have to live with humans and interact with them to some degree. Like, again, if advertising is 100%, the chatbots don't really have a job in some degree. Does that make sense?
No. Wait. So if you're saying because it's so, you can't, because that, I mean, like, the entire economy would break down if you had 100% effective advertising.
Right.
Like, it would lead to a world where,
yes,
that's just right. not even like, a thing.
You need a little dystopia in your utopia. You need a little bit of rebellion. Yeah. You need a little bit of that human variance and chance.
Right.
You know, because otherwise, like, you need to help humans who are inherently fallible, who make mistakes. Otherwise, we just become robotic. And robots, like, we need to maintain this distinction between you're a robot and I'm not. And otherwise, if you become too human-like or we become too robot-like, the whole system breaks down in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I feel like we're going to end up in a world where this stuff is just ubiquitous.
Where, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You know, I think it'll I hope. I know there's, like, at my age, I'm over the internet. I think a lot of us are over the internet. But I think
over it. What do you mean over
just
it?
Like, I go to two websites. Oh, I don't use any of the smart features because I don't want anybody in my house like that. I don't want any, like, AI in my house.
Why do I have to accept all cookies now?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want any of this. I just think it's going to drive more face-to-face interaction in the future.
I could see that.
So it's like, oh, I don't trust anybody on the internet. I don't even trust voice. Phone calls? Nope, sorry. We're going to have to meet in person.
Yeah, texting, you know.
And malls will be back, baby.
The mall?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the heart of, that's big time advertising.
That's right.
Though.
Bring back the dead malls.
Gosh, man. I mean, it's, I don't know. Have you guys been? I went to a Buc-ee's.
Oh, the gas station?
I just found out about Buc-ee's like a couple months ago.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I longed for, I wouldn't mind if a Terminator had walked in and killed everyone in there, including me. I would have been happy. It was so overwhelmingly human. just the worst shit being bought.
It was like going on a cruise.
Yeah, like, it's just they just take all the impulsive buys from like a convenience store and just make them 10 times more appealing. Ugh. Bright light. Oh, it's awful.
This Snickers wearing camo.
Yeah, it's what. No, yeah. Seriously, it's just a whole wall of beef jerky. Just people yelling to buy their. It was like a 1840 Chicago street market. You know, just people yelling at you to buy, like, you know, I got the onion rings to make you sing.
Yeah, somebody's got typhoid.
Yeah. Like 400 gas pumps. I don't know, but like 100 gas pumps. It was insane.
Insane.
Yeah, and I didn't like. I would rather order my stuff off Amazon and never see a person.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's a reason that has become, like, popular.
Yeah, because people suck.
It's like, there's definitely an appeal to
right.
it.
Right, people suck. And then that opens the door. We have a final thought for this always, and I'm real conflicted on this one. And maybe it's because I always thought, like, I was an English major, and I always prided myself on the ability to sort of write and create. And we're comics, right? But in the next 5 years, we're going to see a chatbot do a set of comedy that it wrote, and it's going to be so fucking funny, and we're all going to sit here and go like, well, guys, we had a good run.
Oh, yep, yeah. And it's called Aaron Ransom.
Yeah,
I mean, that we find out he's been a chatbot the whole time. Yeah.
That's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen, that, and we're going to say, wow, that is... Yeah.
And it's weird because, it's like, selfishly, you know, from your ego, you're like, oh, that's bad. Like, I'm not going to be able to compete with that. And it's like, what does that mean for me and us and whatever? But then at the same time, it's like, that's kind of cool that you can, I would think by the same token, you could have ChatGPT write you a individual novel
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
No, it's written. It's written. Best up. Thing you've ever read. Where you're absolutely. Like, this shit is unbelievable.
Right.
It's just top tier content, endless amounts of it.
Yes.
And yeah. But again, it's like, does that, it reduces the value of it all. Like,
right. Right.
And it'll eventually be doing all of the architectural design. Every city will look like this just incredible, mm-hmm. you know, like just beautiful ancient city or whatever. And, but then will that get old?
Yeah. Exactly.
Will you just stop? You don't even really see that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you know, C-3PO, this was a protocol droid. Yeah. His whole purpose in Star Wars was like he spoke every language and he could speak to anyone and like from all the different robots. And it's like, and he was also like this huge dick, you know. Like I hated C-3PO as a kid.
You didn't like him?
No, he's a
he was just Laurel and Hardy or Abbott from Abbott and Costello.
Just like. Master Luke, don't do that. No. R2, you done. R2, you just say, dude, shut up.
Yeah, real rule follower.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was a real, I hated that. Yeah. And that's what these things remind me of. And like, he's shiny and he's bright and he's very, very smart. I just worry that, like, if that's what becomes of this world, like, I want a pesky R2 unit that, like, ain't afraid to, you know, get his shit dented up or fired at, you know.
Well, we'll get there. I think we start with C-3PO and then eventually we get robots that lie.
These things lie.
They No, I know.
That should make you feel better. They're already kind of
They're
not good.
Oh, so you're
yeah.
Yeah, ChatGPT's Sith. How we got to Star Wars? Oh, I brought it up.
Oh yeah,
they'll be dirty scamming robots too.
No, they'll be. Yeah, the lies will become indistinguishable from the truth. That's what I.
I struggle with this because I basically had a mental breakdown half a year ago, and I was like, oh, I hate doing my job. I hate graphic design. I've never wanted to do it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing concept art because, you know, tons of video game companies around here. I'll start doing that. And then immediately, like that week, like all these chat things or AI art things came out, and I was like, oh, they just, you push a button and it does what
you just describe.
Yeah.
Something along these lines.
Yeah. It's glad.
That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I know. I was like, I'm glad I didn't go down this path too far. But even graphic design, I mean.
I've done the same thing with voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like in my working in advertising, like I direct voiceover recordings sometimes. And I'm like, I could do this. Like, I should do this. Like, I could totally, you know, and. I'm glad I didn't put a lot of time into that because I think that's another one that's like...
Voiceover's gone.
Voiceover's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody can just get on a mic, say the thing, and then it just have like, hey, change it, make it this way.
Make it this way.
Yeah, a little friendlier.
Right.
A and little more authoritative. Like, and it's just going to tweak it just right for you.
Right. And that's why, like, you know, it's going to be... It's just going to be really hard to distinguish the real from the unreal. And that... I don't know. I don't think that once the genie's out of the bottle, this one goes back in.
No. But there are ways to capitalize on it now. I got an Instagram reel the other day. It was like, here's what you do to make this much money a month. It was like, put a thing in chat, GPT, find, it's basically people making YouTube videos that just like auto shit.
Yeah, that's so dumb to me.
It's so dumb.
I'm like, that's not gonna, that's gonna work for like a month.
That's why you do it now.
And then there's gonna be, it's like, yeah, because I saw the same, it was like, just have ChatGPT write a script about, you know, best 5 places to visit in Spain.
Yeah.
And then plug it into this thing where you can have a fake person read it on camera. It'll look like they're reading it to camera. And then you put that on YouTube as, like that's how you make the video content. But
it's crazy. I mean, people
people
make money doing that, like, all the separate parts already. So it's like, now they can streamline it.
Right.
Because people will just, like, tune in and be like, oh. But I think that is definitely an era of YouTube, I think, is going out, I hope. So.
Yeah. Well, when it's a thing everybody can do.
Yeah.
Exactly. As soon as something's easy for everyone to do. Yeah,
exactly.
Then it's ceases to be a get-rich-quick scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, no chat GPT in my garden. I'm going to have to be out there every day. And that'll be my life from now on.
It might be time to sell it all. That's my final thought. Sell it all. Except this podcast. If you're listening, join our patron. Don't give up on us.
But, yeah, definitely don't go listen to the AI-only podcast that's out there now. Yeah.
Well, and soon you'll be able to have AI guests.
Yeah.
Like my, this might be the last time you have me on.
Let's hope, man.
You, I think you're more personable than AI at this point. Do you know
this point? Yeah, at this point. Yeah. Come on, the clock's ticking. ChatGPT-4.
That'd be really, it would be really fun to do a sketch where it's like an AI chatbot comic, but he's just bombing his freaking.
And that's what brings him on. That's what makes him sentient.
Yeah, that's
the feeling of bombing is like it's enough. Yeah. It's all of a sudden like awakens the soul.
That's amazing.
I'm feeling something.
Yeah, this is something. Oh. Yeah.
That's the singularity. It's just I mean, it's probably like any comic though. It would just go up. That didn't work.
Yeah, they can learn faster.
Learn faster.
Oh yeah, those are the best comics. The ones just no shame or fear.
Yeah.
Just always, like, let me just try this with utter commitment. Oh, it freaked everybody out. I walked half the crowd. All right. Well, next time I'll just do it this way. A little different.
Yep. A little different.
You know?
Yep.
No self-doubt. No, like, am I crazy for even trying this?
Yeah.
This
you know, like, one anywhere? Little word sometimes, like, even just the possessive between, like, my or their our, like, it changes a whole joke. Like, it'll just figure it out. Yeah. Like, I have scanned the audience. There are approximately 22 minorities in here, so I will do this joke.
Right.
But I will state it in this way. And it's us, instant calculations, and it's like.
Yeah. And what I think it's going to prove is that it's all the things that we thought were art or science all along.
Yes. That's what I mean.
It was just so complex. We didn't understand that.
That's what terrifies
me. But you're going to realize, like, what you just said, like. Like, come on, that's not comedy. You're scanning the audio. 27 minor, really? No, yeah, really.
That's also how we think.
That is how you don't realize you're doing that. Yeah, but you're doing that.
Yeah.
Yes. The human brain
your
is structured.
Your little computer you have is doing the same thing.
And that's what's scary, is that if there's an evolution, this is what it is. Like, humans, there's some sort of sense of a human evolving, but this is what it's evolving to.
Right, this is the next thing.
It's not our organism,
you know,
right.
The genes, natural selection, it's like shifting to a different mode.
That's what I said, what do humans become? Do we just become like, some of us stay in the wild, we're like, some of us just go in the zoos, which might just be cities, but they're big cities, you know, and you live, and you're like, it's fine.
I don't know. It's like, what would you do if you could do anything, right? It's that question where it's like, that's kind of a scary question for, like, that's a lot of people are like, you know, they spiral when they retire for that same reason.
Sure,
wait, I don't have no obligations.
Right.
I can do anything I want to do. I don't actually know what that is, you know?
And I mean, I've kind of had that life for a while just because, you know, I don't work very hard. but I get that paralysis. I don't make goals. So I'm just like, well, what to do with my day?
And you could go, well, I'm just going to work on, I'll go hard on like stand up or whatever.
Sure.
But in this world, that's covered.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
never going to write
right.
better stand up than the right. robots are at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But is there something, do you have to just be okay with that? The same way that I know I'm never going to write better stand up than Chappelle, but that doesn't make me stop.
Right.
I just want to do it the best I can do it. And I could keep that mentality.
That's a great final thought.
Into this crazy robot. And I might be performing. I thought about this too. You can perform for the robots.
Yeah,
you could have an all robot crowd that reacts like a real human crowd. But they could always be a hot crowd. They could always be.
Hell yeah, you know.
And then it'd just be fun.
What's the deal with machine learning?
dude. You just go on stage and crush.
That's fine. Yeah. That's all I want.
It would always feel like just like sold out Saturday early show.
Sure.
Good nights.
Love it.
You can just go up, and especially once this stuff's in VR, like. Think about like VR. So then you're in a VR world that's being entirely created by AI that knows what you like and how to keep you just scared enough and it's like you're living in a movie.
Man.
Wow. But I choose door B. I don't know what's behind it, but I don't want that world. I'm like, my kids can live in that world. I don't want to.
Yeah. I think it's so out of our hands where it goes. And I just think I'm just grateful that, like, we get to be here for it. Like, how cool is that? Like, for such a long time, you were born and lived and died, and things basically just stayed the same.
True, yeah.
And maybe the smartest people 500 years ago could imagine these things. Like, in theory, I wonder if you could create a machine that could do this and to take that to its extreme, you know, and they could kind of think of something like AI.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll just say,
vague concept to them. Yeah, and like, we get to actually see it and see what the implications are going
to
be.
We all get to lose our jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last, 66 was the first chatbot, Eliza. Now we have 3.5 chat GPT. So we're like 60 years in. But understand that, like, every year now, it's like a decade of, like, the
it's exponential.
Exponential. And so, like,
yeah,
if we have this conversation in 5 years, we will laugh when we talk about the capabilities that these things have and don't have.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Crazy.
Like, the idea of, like, comedy, we're going to be like, oh, remember when we were wondering if they would be able to do comedy? And we're going to be like, yeah, there's no.
Yeah.
All comedy's written by ChatGPT. Yeah. You just, you own your own ChatGPT and you train it.
Right. When that, it really begs the question, like, who owns the joke? Like, that is going to be, that's going to get real weird, I think. Like, the ownership of intellectual property.
It's all going to be NFTs.
It's, I guess.
I mean, it's going to have a blockchain on it.
But it is like, you know, you come to a writing group with this idea and you're like, hey, this thing happened with my wife. I think it was kind of funny. And you and your group, like, kind of work out the joke.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Like, so now you're going to be like, hey, ChatGPT, my wife said this. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, don't run the dishwasher half full. But she said it right after she took a bath. Mm-hmm. That's like, isn't that funny? And the chat would be like, yes, here's a joke. Here's a way I
structure. Here's how you could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to be like.
Right. And you probably don't take it word for word.
No.
You're but just you take the note.
Exactly.
And you go, and that is a good angle. And yeah. And,
yep.
Yeah. And so I don't know, you know, if you're the one who's still, it's still true to, like, you and your life. And yeah, it's really a tough, to draw the line between cheating.
Yeah, I think you're right. Your point is great. You keep doing it because you want to do it, and, you know.
Right,
if you're like, well, I'm just doing a little sad-ass human comedy. Yeah.
And to your point about, like, things going back to face-to-face interaction, I could see people being like, you know, listen, I can sit at home and watch the greatest stand-up imaginable. Right.
But I like the old the basement.
You know what? It's kind of fun to go and watch somebody sweat it out up there, trying their best with their little, you know, their little Model T brain to put something together.
It's still fun to play chess with a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Even though, one, you have a shot of winning versus a computer. True. So, I mean, well, I like this. You got a final thought?
I mean, that my final thought. I'm moving to the woods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you live in the woods.
Yes, so I'm good.
You're good. Well, then, before we bounce, where should our audience find you, follow you, and when your album comes out later this year, where will that be on your socials too?
Yeah, I'll definitely announce it and promote it a lot on my social media. Instagram's probably the best one. Just Ryan Brown Comedy on there, and then RyanBrownComedy.com is my website. I've got some dates on there if anybody wants to come out. And see me live before the robots replace us as performers.
Highly recommend.
When does this come out, this episode?
Sunday.
Oh, great. February from the 18th to the 25th, that week, I'm touring around Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Excellent.
And doing some shows. So,
we have a lot of listeners in that region. So, check out around.
You and your friend, who's good?
Ron Nobles.
Ron Nobles is
great.
Ron Nobles and I are going to, we're doing those shows together. So,
excellent.
Yeah, RyanBrownComedy.com. You can see about all those dates.
Awesome.
Well, get on that and join the Patreon if you haven't, and keep coming back. A lot of fun stuff coming up. And in the meantime, this has been Conspiracy Beer. I'm still Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Ryan Brown.
Peace.